very fashion. I have a list of needs. You know, that's what the handout was for. But if you like to write down outlines and you like doing that, I don't use outlines myself, or I don't use notes myself, but I always have outlines. So today, there'll be a little bit of a report, and you'll see three pictures up here. I always like to bring pictures with me and things like that. Up at the very top, you'll see the world. And so you can just write that as point one. Point one, we're going to talk about the world, what's going on in the world. Number two, right underneath the word report, that's a map of Franklin County. We're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in the county. So we've got the world, number one. Point number two will be the county, Franklin County, what's going on here with CEF. And lastly, that picture in the bottom that was taken at Christmas, that's my family. And so family is the last thing. I know a lot of times people ask me about that. We have a newsletter, and a lot of times the newsletter, people really enjoy reading the parts about our kids and the family and what's going on. It's sort of interesting because sometimes my kids will come with me when we're doing this. It's just one of those things that they have that stuff in there, and someone from the church who gets the newsletter will walk up to a child or my child and say, "Oh, I read that you were playing volleyball this month. How is that going?" It's like, I don't know anything about them, but they seem to know about me. And that's because we really do try to keep people up to date because they want to know about things with the family and such. So I know sometimes people might say, oh, this is a report outline. You're going to talk about the world. You're going to talk about the county. You're going to talk about your family. I thought you were going to really, you know, share about the Bible and a verse. And the reality is giving a report like this to God's people, it is very a biblical thing. I'll see if my thing works. Oh, perfect. Excellent. You guys remember this story from the Bible. As they got to the promised land, they sent out the spies into the land, and when they came back, they gave a report. So Moses got all the people together. He said, listen, we got something to hear here, and so we're going to hear a report. There are other times in the New Testament when Paul and Barnabas went out, and they come back in Acts chapter 15, and they give a report about their first missionary journey. And so sometimes these things that we do, they're like that. In Numbers chapter 13, it talks about this report. And I think it's an interesting thing because we know the story in the sense of Joshua and Caleb came back, and their report was very positive. The 10 spies, the majority of the spies said, oh my goodness, the cities have walls. The people are big. Everything is going to be hard. We just shouldn't have come here. This is just a terrible idea. But Joshua and Caleb, they came up, and Caleb gave the report, and he said, listen, it's better. It's positive. These are good things that God is doing. And I hope that when you listen to me today, you'll hear some of that Caleb report and what's going on. Because you know what? It's easy as you look around the world to think, man, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. It is going to get blown up. You know, there is no hope. I think sometimes the same thing's true. When you look at our county and you look at the public schools and the kids, you go, oh my goodness, the kids today, they're so terrible. Man, back in my day, everybody was good. But look at these kids today. They're so disrespectful. They do all these terrible things. And even when you look at people, you know, you think like this is all bad. But the reality is that God is doing some amazing things. And if you let the bad report of those other spies ruin it, it ruined it for the people. They were in the land for 40 days spying it out. And the people came back and they rejected what Joshua and Caleb had to say. And God said, listen, I'm going to put you in the wilderness for 40 years, 1 year for every day that you rejected. And I think that sometimes it's easy for us to listen to the negative. It's easy for us to listen to the problems and think that's all there is. And to forget that God's the one that's directing us. God's the one that's moving us. God's the one that's taking us into new places. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy to be in transition. I feel like a lot of times with different clubs and things, you're all the time, you're in that limbo. You were here, and now you're going here, and here you're kind of in that middle thing. And that's how Joshua and Caleb were. And I know it's the same for you guys as you kind of step from having a pastor to being in this limbo to going to one, that it's not always easy to be in transition. But I want to just be an encouragement to you this morning that God has got really great things in store. And you guys are a wonderful church, and I know that God is bringing you a wonderful person. I really believe that. I know that great things are in store for you guys, and good things are ahead. And so I just want to be an encouragement to you in this time and just encourage you with this report this morning. So we're going to talk about the world first, and I've got a couple of videos here, and hopefully as you watch these videos, it'll kind of give you a little bit better picture. There's a lot of things you can start talking about when it comes to the world, but a lot of times seeing a picture, seeing the video is a little bit easier. So we'll go ahead and we'll see if we can, this first one's going to be a lot of statistics, and the second one's going to be a more personal story. The statistics are really big sometimes when you start thinking about this. 25 million kids all around the world. Now, what's the most amazing thing of that to me is when you start thinking about there's only 3,000 like full-time missionaries and things like that. It's very much true of the organization. If you look at Franklin County here, we reach about 4,000 kids and such, and there's only one full-time worker in Franklin County. That's me. So you think about that, you start saying, well, how do things get done if there's not enough Dr. Dan to go around? There's only one CEF worker in the county. Actually, it's two counties here in Fulton County that's full-time. But the reality is it's a grassroots organization. And that's why I said 96% national worker. That means local people doing the work. And my little saying is always like, hey, the kids in South Mountain are going to hear about Jesus. The people in South Mountain have to tell them. If the kids in Waynesboro are going to hear about Jesus, who's got to tell them? People in Waynesboro. You can't just say, well, we're going to get this evangelist to come in. It just doesn't work like that. You've got to have the local people doing it. And so if I'm an evangelist, the best thing I can do is mobilize, train, and work with those people. And so you see 3,000 people, but they're reaching 25,000 kids. And so that's a lot, or 25 million kids, in fact, 10 million of them making decisions. So that's how the system works. It's a very grassroots organization that goes around the world. When you think about what we're doing in the world, there's three things that are very key to it. Number one is literature. If you have literature in these places, you can do a good news club, you can do Bible stories and stuff like that. If you don't have the literature, it's a lot harder. So we have these pictures. There was a day when CEF Press used to make all the pictures and there would be a text attached to it. So if you flip through some of our older books, you'll flip through all the pictures, they'll all be color, and then there'll be a little bit of white paper in the back that's black and white, and that's the words to the story. If you look at the new ones, it's not like that. And you say, well, why is that? Well, the story's in its own little book, and that's because the press will print, and they just print as much as they can and as much as they can afford, and then whatever doesn't get bought in America, guess where it goes? Overseas. They call the program boxes of books. It started out where they'd have overflow in the warehouse or they'd have these boxes of books, and they said, well, I don't think anybody's going to buy them because we're kind of out of that cycle, and so they would ship them overseas. Now, instead of just having a little bit, they run that press all the time. They run stuff overseas because if you have those pictures, you can do the story. And all you have to do is just take a couple extra pieces of paper in whatever language, write the stories, translate the stories, and then you can take those stories and use them all around the world. So we need the literature, but we also need training. And so you'll see one of the numbers up there they gave us, how many people that they've trained. Because they feel like, you know what, you can't just hold up the pictures and go, oh, look at this picture, look at it. Your goal is evangelism. We're called Child Evangelism Fellowship. So what's the training about? The training is to help them share the gospel in the story. And if you've been in a CEF thing, you'll know that we share the gospel quite a bit in every story. And we can find a way to put the gospel into almost any story there is, because we want to make that the center part, the central part of what we do. So we have national people, we have local people, they've got literature, they've got pictures, they've got texts and stories. We train them how to put the gospel into them. Those are the three main things that really, when you look around the world, they're just very true. And we're going to take those same things and come here. I want to try to personalize some of those numbers, though, because when you start hearing numbers like 25 million and 10 million and some of that, it doesn't quite show you what it's like. So in this next one, I've got a picture, or I've got a video here from Africa, and it's about a guy. He's just sharing a little bit about some of the kids he teaches. He's one of these national workers and some of the things he's doing, and then I'll pick it up from there.
Every Saturday we usually go to Kibera slum. That is, it is the biggest slum in the country. Every Saturday we go there and reach out to children. If we don't share with them the message of salvation, they will end up being thugs, involving themselves in drugs. They can even be used with politicians to cause chaos, because they don't have money, they are illiterate, some of them. So people take advantage of them, but through the gospel, some of them, they have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have been transformed. I can give you a scenario that a certain girl, I was teaching her Sunday school many years back. Now she is at university. I had already forgotten her. So I was teaching a certain camp, and he told me, you are teacher worship. I remember you teaching Sunday school, you are the one who led me to Christ. Since then, I never come back. I have been there for around now 4 years. I have seen the transformation in life.
And I just picked that video because it really represents a lot of what's true about children's ministry, especially around the world. I know sometimes in America, we think of children's ministry just as kind of daycare. It's like, you guys want to have a nice, peaceful, quiet service, so what do we do about it? After the song, we just dismiss those kids out of here, let them run around and stomp, and hopefully they get out some of their energy so that when we get them back, they've had some fun and things like that. Children's ministry, though, is meant to be transformational. It's meant to be life-changing. And I think sometimes overseas you see a lot of that thing. It's just a part of a lot of these stories where these kids are in these places and the evangelist comes in, the missionary comes in, and they step in and they share it with them about Jesus. And Jesus, he isn't just wanting to be, you know, here for 30 minutes or something once a week. He wants you 24/7. He wants to change your life. He wants to make you a new person. He wants to make you like himself. He wants Jesus to be who you try to be like. And that's something I think is just important. We just share about the ministries. We start out here. I know sometimes, you know, children's ministry becomes, hey, well, do you do puppets? You know, you juggle, you know, anything like that. And it's just so much deeper than that. It is about seeing God change people in the lives of kids. And kids are a great thing because, as you can see in the video, overseas, kids don't necessarily have video games to keep them busy. They don't have all that. They're out in the slums playing. They're out in the fields playing. They're in the streets playing. And it's, you can walk into those places, and you can set up a little tripod. You set up a little easel and say, hey, I've got some pictures here. If anybody would like to come hear my story, and all of a sudden 30 people come over, and you talk to them. And you can go farther down a little bit later and do it a block, two blocks farther down, and get 30 more kids, all who are just playing on a different street. It's that type of a ministry that you see going on over there. And this guy, he couldn't even remember all the kids that he shared the gospel. Well, here's a kid at the university. He said, you know, I grew up there in the dump, but now I'm at the university. But it was you who shared the gospel with me. It's you that told me about Jesus. I just wanted to come back and tell you thank you for doing that. So I hope if you hear a lot of things going on this morning, I hope that you guys hear me saying thank you to you. I know that you guys are a great church. You support a lot of things. And when you hear these type of stories, I hope you hear us saying thank you to you for all the things that are doing. So we're doing a lot of things around the world, but we are also right here in Franklin County. And so we'll go ahead and we'll show you the two main things that we do in the county. They are Good News Club and Good News Camp. So we're trying to reach the kids. Our goal is to reach every single kid that's in Franklin or Fulton County. So while school is in session, we focus on the schools. We go to all the public schools. I know sometimes people are like, there's no way you can reach all the kids. But you know what? All the kids are in 30 buildings. You've got 30 elementary schools. If you want to reach those kids, you get into those elementary schools. If you can reach those schools, you can reach 100% of all the kids. Now, in the summertime, kids aren't in school, but that's good for us because parents are looking for something to do with their kids. And so we have Good News Camp as a way of taking their kids. Let me go ahead and just start with Good News Camp for a second. We got lots of great fun stuff. If you've ever been out there, you know we've got the wagon rides and sports. We've got the pond and the creek and all of those things. One of the things that's just very central, it's right in the middle of the day, it's central to everything we do, is quiet time. And you can see a guy sitting there on the bench talking to one of the kids. And so we'll sit there at quiet time, and every single person who comes to Good News Camp will spend one-on-one time with the teacher. And the teacher will ask them, has there ever been a time in your life when you asked Jesus to be your Savior? And if they say no, we say, would you like to know that right now? I can show you from God's Word how to become a Christian. Would you like me to do that? And they'll give them a track, and they'll go through it with them. I feel like it's just something that we just really have made a part of camp, that you can't come to camp, and we won't face-to-face talk with you and share with you the gospel so that when you leave camp, we'll know it. And I shared before, last time I was here, I shared the story about a girl named Sydney. And she lived in Greencastle, and she passed away very suddenly. And her parents were like, oh, what's going on? And her mom, there was a pastor that talked to the family. She didn't go to church, but the pastor said, is there something I can do for you? And she said, call Good News Camp. My daughter went there. I know she made a decision for Jesus. And sure enough, we could go, and we looked up her name, and we looked up when it was that she came to camp and the decision and things like that. We were able to tell them, said, listen, we know that Sydney's in heaven. She made a decision that Jesus Christ was her Savior. And it's just fitting that camp is like that because, as you know, the camp's called the Mark Victor Teeter Memorial Camp. And that's how it happened there. When Dr. Teeter lost his son Mark, they had a memorial service for him. And it was interesting as people shared things about him, the thing that the Teeters heard over and over again. Oh, Marky told us that Jesus was in his heart. Marky said that he was going to be in heaven. And it's the same thing we do today. We want to share the gospel with these kids so that they will know that they're going to heaven. But not only that, we send that little piece of paper home with them. The parents know as well. We don't hide anything. We say, hey, your child made a decision at camp. And we have that. It was interesting up at Grand Point in Chambersburg there by the Target. They had a baptism recently, and they had six people baptized, and five of the six had made decisions at Good News Camp. And it was just one of those things where it was very interesting to see those type of things happening like that. So we share the gospel with them. One of the things I want to highlight, though, just as we're kind of going through here, you can see there's a picture of Ethan. And the kid beside him is named Evan. One of the things that I really see happening from Good News Camp that is just really touching my heart is Good News Camp is teenage-driven. It is a teenage-driven camp. It really is. Like, when you get there, there are adults there, but the adults don't have the energy to run Good News Camp. They just don't. You know what I mean? And so you start to say, well, who's running around? And who's doing this? And it says, it's teenagers. And the reality is we're seeing really good things happen from that. You know, I shared before the story of Caleb and how, you know, 10 of the spies were kind of down, but Caleb and Joshua had a solid report. And I'd say the same thing about the teenagers I see at camp. You know, I hear people talk about, oh, the youth today and the youth just this and kids and teenagers, and it's just kind of a bad thing. And I say, you know what? That's not what I see at camp. You know, every week I have 20, 30 teenagers at my camp, and I realized we couldn't do camp without them. And it's interesting, you know, most of them were campers at one time. And then they came back and they became helpers. And now they're working as junior counselors, and some of them are working as junior staff. They just, you know, if Dr. Dan has to go step out, they step right in and they do the staff stuff that's going on. In fact, it used to be just terrible as far as trying to find a guide teacher. So we might have like 14 teams, and there might be 7 boy teams and 7 girl teams, and we'd have 2 guide teachers. So the top oldest boys would have men teachers, and then the 5 teams below it, they'd be all ladies because it was just so hard finding them. But now, this past year, we've been able to have men teachers on almost all these teams every week. And you say, well, where'd they come from? Well, a lot of them are 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old guys. And they were junior counselors, and they're coming back as junior staff, and now they've been trained and they've been teaching. And so, like I said, I look at Ethan there, and he was a junior counselor this summer. In fact, his team won. It was kind of a neat thing to see. He has a medal and everything from winning at Good News Camp. But you know what? I remember Ethan when he came as a camper, and I know that like he's like, oh, I'm gonna come back and be a junior counselor, Dr. Danny, this way. You know what I mean? And he came back as a helper, and now this. And you know, the reason we have these guys is because we give them an opportunity. You know what I mean? And I think that's such a key, is that camp is an opportunity for these people. And I know sometimes, you know, kids want to serve God and teenagers want to serve God, or kind of like, hey, come talk to us when you're 21, or come talk to us, you know, when you're older and things like that. You're not even 18 yet, you know what I mean? But you know what? God, he uses people who aren't 18. He uses kids who are teenagers and such like that. And I see it happening at camp, and it really touches my heart. They become good friends with each other. They start serving God, and there's just something about, you know, I don't want to say sharing blood together or being in war together, but it's true. You know, you look at these guys from World War II, and they're only together, you know, for 6, 7, 8 months, you know, in World War II. But, you know, they'll come back together, and they'll have Doolittle's Raiders Head, you know, reunions every year, even though it's just one mission. And it's the same thing. These people, they you ask them about their friends, and some of their best friends will say, oh, so-and-so from camp. They keep together on, keep up on social media and these other things. But they met each other through camp, and they kind of thought, man, nobody knows quite what it's like because that person was there with me. I need to move on because I could tell lots of camp stories, but I want to share about Good News Club. As Henry shared, Good News Club is starting, and here's a picture of Steve. This is the same picture I showed when I was back here in February. That little girl's name is September, and she was bringing money for the missionaries. And I just think it's so special when you look at these kids who have a heart for God, and you're trying to teach them these things. The kids there in that U-shaped table there, they're all holding up a Bible. If you're having a little hard time seeing it, every one of them got a Bible. And I think that was just something real special that, you know, here they are, and they're coming. And you know they're doing things with these Bibles because I see them at camp. And so I'll see them at Good News Club, and they'll get that Bible, and then they come back to camp, and they're carrying that Bible with them, and it has their name in it and things like that. The things that you do with the kids, it comes back, and you see it again and again, and you hear about it. Just as I shared before about people who make decisions, people who do stuff, it just keeps coming back. It has a reward to it. It has an expense to it as well. I appreciate the support that you guys give the church, or give CEF through the church and through other things, because, you know, it's not always cheap. You know, when you think about giving out Bibles, you know, that costs a lot of money to buy a Bible and then to give it to a kid. You'll see in that top picture there, we have buses, and we have about 10 buses, and it actually takes a little bit more than that to do what we do, but CEF owns and operates and pays for 10 of them to cover the insurance and the fuel and the repairs and all those things. Other places, we borrow a bus from the school district. In some places, the church has a bus and things like that. But boy, it becomes an expense very quickly. If you guys have cars and stuff, you'll know what I mean and things like that. One of our buses here just got inspected in September, and it was they said, oh, you're going to need 4 tires. And, you know, if you've ever had to put tires on a car, ooh, that's kind of pricey. But the estimate they gave us, they said, that's going to be about $1,500 to $1,600. And you're like, just for tires? And it said, you know, because your tires are only this big, you know, and these bus tires are this big. And so it takes a whole lot more petroleum to make a bus tire than it does a regular car tire. So a lot of times they're $300 a piece or more. But we were able to find used tires. We had somebody who's a friend of the ministry, and they connected us with some tires of a bus that was out of service, and we were able to use its tires and came down to $100 a tire. But even at $100 a tire, that's still, that's a pretty big thing. You might say, wow, that's a lot of money just to spend, but it's a deal breaker. If you don't have the bus, you're not going to have camp. If you don't have the bus, you're not going to have club. And so you need to be able to take care of these things. And so that's part of what's going on. We shared the need too. We need people who will come to these clubs. As Henry kind of mentioned, and I just wanted to highlight it, our biggest need right now this year is for helpers. It's not for teachers. It's not as much for the bus drivers and a lot of these skill positions. It's just people who will be there. And as he shared, you know what? It's not like you always have to be able to do something great. If you just put a person in the room, behavior gets better, even if that person doesn't do anything. I think I've shared here the story about there's a guy named Elmer, and he was kind of a grumpy old man, and I actually spoke at his church and talked about their church was one where the Good News Club was bigger than the church, and I said, and he was just, he wanted to see that, and he said, I'm retired, I'll come here. He said, I don't like kids though, but I want to see all these kids in my church. And it's true, he was kind of a grumpy old guy, but you know, he sat on the back pew in his sanctuary there. We had to be in the sanctuary because it was so big. And I look at a kid, and the kid wasn't behaving. I said, do you need to go sit back by Mr. Elmer? You know, I'm going to move you if you talk to you again. You know what I mean? And that thought was. So he didn't have to do anything. He could just sit in there and enjoy the Bible story and the songs and all that type of stuff. But you know, if I had problems, I'd just send him back there. And that's the reality of what we really need in a lot of clubs, is just people who have a presence in the club. And that presence is what we need. And so if that's you and you want to see one of these clubs, you can just show up and visit. And then if you want to come for real, you have to do the background check, the paperwork and all that. But we really just need some people there to sit there. And so Good News Camp, Good News Club, that's the county. I want to keep moving, because I want to talk about the family real quick. Everybody wants to all, like I said, always hear family. I like this picture. This is a picture of us when we first got that sign out at Good News Camp. And so if you see on the one side, all my kids look really young. And then on the other side, that's kind of what they look like today. And the truth is, I think my kids came to South Mountain here one time and sang a song and did some things like that. And so, you know, I know some people, they're kind of like, it's sad when your kids grow up and, you know, they can't do all that cutesy stuff anymore. But you know, the reality is my kids are really doing great things right now. I really, you know, I'd much rather have them at this age serving God in the way that they're doing right now than just, you know, being little kids and just kind of saying what you want them to say and things like that. Here's a picture of what's going on. My top corner there, my daughter Cora, she teaches elementary fourth grade in Thailand. So she lives in Bangkok, Thailand. Now, she's there with, she's at a Christian-type school, but she doesn't have to raise support because the school will give her so much money and they give her a place to live and things like that. So she's able to stay there, but she teaches fourth grade. Her husband, Seth, teaches high school math, and so they work together at that school. And so it's just really neat to see my daughter, you know, she used to teach at camp, and then she went off to college, and she went through elementary education and did all that, and just to see that God's using her now overseas. Speaking of teaching at camp, that's my son Caleb up there in that top picture beside Cora, and he's actually at the same seminary Phil's at, you know, and hopefully he might get a ride back here on a break or something like that. I know they're coming back on break, but Phil McDonald. It's one of those things where Caleb's doing chapel, and it's just fun to hear him. He sent me an email last night, it's Friday night, about a sermon. He said, hey, this is a sermon I'm doing. Can you look at it and talk to me about it? And so, you know, here we are. We're emailing about his sermon assignment and some of these other things he's doing. Just really neat to see him. My son Jacob right there is the one who is graduating. He graduated from Cumberland Valley Christian School. Might not be able quite to read it there, but that's what it says in the little podium. And now he's at Liberty University. He's studying computers, but he still stays involved in ministry. Jacob plays the bass guitar. And so he has all these ministry opportunities opening up. When he was younger, he played piano, and he took piano lessons and everything like that. But when he became a teenager, he wanted to play with churches and praise teams and things like that. When he realizes, oh my goodness, there's so many piano players. I'll never play piano or keyboard or anything like that. And then somebody said, well, it's actually my brother, his uncle. And my brother said, well, I play bass guitar. You ought to learn the bass guitar because everybody needs a bass guitar player. And so he did that. So he went from not having anybody to having like three different bands all want him to play. And so it's just kind of a neat thing like that where you see someone and they're serving God in the place that they're needed. This is my daughter, Olivia. She's the volleyball player. Right now it's volleyball season, and that's a picture of her serving. She's a senior at Cumberland Valley Christian School. She plans to go to a college called Laterno next year. Laterno is in Texas. It's an engineering school. So Olivia is my math lead. She is very good at math, and so she's going to go do engineering work. Jacob also is very good at math. He's doing computer science at Liberty. So they're there. She likes playing volleyball, but you know, I think one of my favorite things about Olivia is she is teaching a Good News Club. And you'll actually know the person she's teaching Good News Club with is Robin Amon. And so if any of you are familiar with Thaddeus Stevens, that is the school. It's kind of a Hispanic black school there in Chambersburg. And so you kind of got Chambersburg, and then north of Chambersburg, it's a little bit nicer and stuff like that. You get a little bit south of Chambersburg. That's kind of the rough part of Chambersburg. And that's where Thaddeus Stevens is. And you might say, oh my goodness, you know, who wants to go to a, you know, send me to the nice suburban school where all the kids are all dressed up nice and have jeans with no holes in them and nice shoes and all that. But you know what? Robin is in the rough elementary school. And Olivia is her teacher because you have that many kids. Robin's a great teacher, but she's kind of like, look, we need to split this in two different Good News Clubs. And so that's good. Ben Chambers is our other school there that's a little rough, and Steve teaches there, and we appreciate that too with Steve. That, you know, there's a lot of places where you know, these Good News Clubs, it's not as easy as church, you know what I mean? Because it's kind of like, do I need to go talk to your dad about your behavior? Well, if you know who he is, you let me know, because I've never met him. You know, it's that type of a situation a lot of times with things. And so in fact, Ben Chambers, I think I shared this story last time I was here, but I'm gonna get the name wrong, but I was there for a prayer time one time, and we're sitting there at Ben Chambers, and they're praying for a kid. He's no longer in Good News Club. He came through Good News Club. Now he's a little bit older, but he's on the run because he saw a crime, and he went into hiding, and he was worried that whoever was committing the crime was going to kill him. However, he was also worried that if he went to the police, you know, he was going to get in trouble there because they were going to figure out, hey, this kid's doing stuff. He's not illegal. And now, you know, I mean, he's going to go to jail. So he's sitting there saying, if I don't go to the police, I may get killed. But if I go to the police, I may go to jail, you know. And we're there in this prayer time, and we're praying for this kid. And just God, be with this kid, help him to realize what he needs to do, and help him to go to the police, help him to do what's right and things like that. And it was just a really interesting thing. And that's sort of like what some of these places are like. You know, I mean, when you talk about the problems they have real problems. I've given you just a brief report today. We spent some time on the world because, you know, it's a big world. There's a lot of things happening. I want you guys just to understand some of the CEF strategy of using local people with the literature and doing the training. That's really what CEF's all about. I took a minute to kind of talk about the county. We've got Good News Clubs. We've got Good News Camps. As I shared earlier, we've got clubs all, or we got camp all summer long. We've in different places. We got clubs every single day of the week, and so wherever it is, we got them to happen during school. We got to have them after school. We got them to happen in the evening. In fact, we've got a club starting up this week called Sam's Club, and it happens at the Chambersburg YMCA, and it's not Sam's Club like the place you buy your groceries and stuff like that. The YMCA in Chambersburg had a director or a board on someone on the board. His name was Sam, and he was really hurt with how many kids in Chambersburg did not know how to swim. And so he set up Sam's Club to teach kids how to swim. And basically he worked out this deal. He said, if you come, I'll give you swimming lessons, but you have to listen to a Bible story. And so what they'll do is they'll break Sam's Club into two groups. One half will go swim, and they'll be learning how to swim. One half will sit in a chapel, they call it. That's like our Good News Club. And then halfway through Sam's Club, they'll switch. Everybody who is in chapel will go change into their swim clothes, go to the pool. Everybody who is in the pool will dry off, put into their regular clothes, and come to chapel. And so it's just a great way. A lot of these kids, they hear about Jesus, but it's not necessarily because they're going to church. It's because, hey, I want a free membership to the Y. I want to be able to learn how to swim. That's just one of those things that happens in the evening from like 6:30 to 8:30 on Tuesdays. There's just opportunities like that everywhere, and there's a lot of those things that we have to say no to because we just don't have any way to pull it off. So you can stay connected. We have a website. It's franklincef.com. Just like the county, Franklin organization, CEF.com. So if you're in websites, you can go there to see some of the stuff. A lot of you get the newsletter, the prayer letter, as we call it. It gives our prayer requests. It gives updates. It gives all those things. If you'd like to see more of what's going on, we have teacher training every month. The first Monday and Tuesday of the month, we have that. We share from the different clubs, different people come in. You don't have to be teaching a CEF club to come to teacher training. It's open to everybody. And we have a number of people who come just from churches and Sunday schools and things like that, just so that they can get the stuff that we're doing, talk with other people. So it's a great thing. Teacher training sounds like, you know, there's going to be like a quiz or something like that. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, oh, teacher training, you know, is there a textbook to this? And you want to say, no, it's more like group therapy, because, you know, if you're a teacher and you feel like nobody knows what I go through every week, I've got this stuff and it happens to me, and oh God, I'm all alone, you know, and you come to teacher training, you find out, man, there's 40 people here who all know exactly how I feel, and they're doing the same thing, and we're trying to get together and get equipped for that. As I shared already, serving and giving is a great way to find out what's going on. When you serve, you get to see firsthand what's going on. And when you give, we try to follow that up and say, hey, if you gave money for this, here's how it worked out. If you gave money for kids to go to camp, here's the kids that you sponsored. If you bought money for this, here's the thing that's going on. If you send money in every month, we write up a little monthly receipt letter, and it shows pictures of where it is that your money is going. And so serving, giving, and just praying. I know that a lot of times people know stuff about me because they pray for me. And it's interesting where I'll bump into somebody during the week and they'll say, oh, how did things go at your preaching thing last Sunday? And I'm like, oh, they went really well. Thanks for asking. I'm on the prayer calendar for that day. And so I know that person had that prayer calendar out and they prayed for me because they asked me about it. It's a great way to find out all the things that are going on in here. So you can stay informed through a lot of different ways. I want to end with a challenge because, as I said today, I like to think of this more just as a Sunday morning message and things like that, not just, you know, a talk. The challenge follows the same points as what's going on. There's a world out there that needs to hear about it, and I just challenge you to think more like that. I know that sometimes we think like, oh, there's no way I could do this, no way I could do this, but there are a lot of opportunities like that, even with CEF, to go places and do things. Sometimes, you know, on your part, you need to take a step of faith. I often challenge people, if you want to go overseas, you have to have a passport. And so maybe the first thing you need to do is just apply for a passport, or if you had a passport, renew your passport. And then go look at that passport and say, hey, God, what is it that you want me to do with this passport around the world? Maybe you're here and you're thinking about the county and all the things that are going on. I know it's your own church. You have the trunk or treat. You have the choir. You have these other children's ministries and things like that. But you know, think about, you know, God, is there some place that you want me to serve, something you want me to do? As I share, we have opportunities for everybody, every day of the week, in every place in the county. You just have to be feeling a burden for that. If you've got a burden, we've got a way to set that burden to become a reality. Lastly, just with the family and stuff, it's the same thing. I know that a lot of times when we talk about giving and stuff and these other things, you know, it becomes give to the organization, do those things. But, you know, I challenge you, not just, you know, for us personally, but just for any missionary families, doing things for them, doing things for their kids, it's a very special thing. It's really neat. Just, you know, just simple things. I showed you my daughter, Olivia, plays volleyball. We were at a church, and I mentioned that, and somebody came up, and they said, oh, you know, your daughter plays volleyball. And I said, does she have shoes? And it was interesting because her shoes were just wearing out. And I said, oh, we're going to have to buy her a pair before next season. And they said, well, hey, you know what? What do shoes cost? I said, well, volleyball shoes cost about $90 or so. And they gave me $100, and they said, I'm going to pay for your daughter's volleyball shoes. And I just tell you, it makes me want to cry. But, you know, when you have things like that happening in people's lives, just that's a challenge. That's from God. Somebody listening, not just to me, but just listening to God and saying, God, I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. So I'm going to close in prayer. And I'm just going to say, you know, if God is speaking to your heart, say yes to God. Tell God yes. And then we'll come up and we'll have the benediction in the song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this report. Lord, we know that there are people out there saying that things are bad and that things are never going to get better and we just need to give up. But Lord, help us to see that you're on the move and you're at work and help us to join you in this mission. Lord, we know that you love the world and you're on mission to bring this world to yourself and that you died in Jesus, Lord, just to reconcile the world to you. And we just pray, Lord, that we would be part of that. Give us a burden for the world and show us what we can do there, Lord. Help us to be involved locally here in South Mountain and Quincy and Fayetteville and all these places that we live and to look around at the boys and girls and realize if we don't tell them about Jesus, no one's going to tell them about Jesus. Lord, help us to love people and whether it's a club or a camp or an area like that, Lord, help us just to be there for them. And Lord, I just pray you be with us and our families and the things that we do. Lord, I pray that the things that happen there would just lift you up and that when you're lifted up, you'll draw all men to yourself. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus.